Well, hallelujah, he is risen. I want to take this moment to wish our entire church family, those gathered here and those who are listening in by CD or podcast at home or on the go, a very, very happy Easter from my family to yours. Well, the call of Easter had just been pronounced starting Easter Sunday morning service at an East Texas church. And the choir started its processional, just as we did here this morning. And they were singing, "Up from the grave he arose," as they marched in perfect step down the center aisle up to the chancel steps of the church. And the last lady in the processional, she was wearing shoes with very slender heels. Yes, there may be some ladies that are wearing some of those kinds of heels here this morning. And without a thought for her fancy heels, she marched toward the grating that covered the hot air register in the middle of the aisle. Now, we don't have one of those, so we're good. We're safe, yes? But suddenly, the heel of one shoe sank into the hole in the grate of this register. And in a flash, she realized her predicament. And not wishing to hold up the whole processional, without missing a step, she slipped her foot out of her shoe and she continued marching on down the aisle. There wasn't a hitch in the processional. The processional moved with clock-like precision. And the first man after her spotted the situation, and without losing a step, he reached down and he pulled up the shoe, but the entire grate came up with it at the same time. So, surprised but still singing, the man kept on going down the aisle and holding in his hand the grate and the shoe that was attached to the grate. Well, everything still moved like clockwork, still in tune and still in step. The next man in line stepped then, unfortunately, into the open register, and he just plumb disappeared from sight completely. And so the service took on a special meaning that Sunday, for just as the choir ended with "Alleluia, Christ arose," a voice was heard from underneath the church shouting, "I hope all of you are out of the way, because I'm coming out now." This is the day when Jesus is coming out. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. And that's what we celebrate as the Easter hymn declares, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes." All the promises of our Lord that were given to us were not pie in the sky, but they turned out, in fact, to be true. Promises like the seven I Ams that are found in the Gospel of John. Some of these I Am promises you will know, like when Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." And we're celebrating the bread and the cup here this morning. "I am the light of the world. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me shall be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep." That's what we celebrated on Good Friday. And then Jesus says, the next I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. "I am the vine and you are the branches." And then in John chapter 11, the last I am of the seven I am passages in John's gospel, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life," what we celebrate here today. "He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Today, we celebrate that death does not have the last word. We deny death's stronghold upon us through our risen Savior. Death is valiantly, boldly, and bravely defeated, because that's what it took from our Lord, a bravery beyond measure to stare down the cross and to trust and believe without hesitation that God the Father would raise him up from the dead yet again. And so we too too, will one day rise and emerge from our graves in resurrected bodies forever and ever. I can't wait to kick the top off of my coffin lid. Amen? The resurrection, then, it's the centerpiece that parades and showcases that eternal life and love are found exclusively in Christ and can never be sidelined, thwarted, or discounted. For without the resurrection, faith is just a sham. It may be a nice belief system, but it won't be true. Without the resurrection, our faith would merely be a philosophy, something scintillating to tease the mind with, but that's about all. Without the resurrection, then our faith would be, yes, very ritualistic, with all kinds of motions attached to it, but it would be entirely hollow and meaningless and without the Spirit. Without the resurrection, my friends, we are naive believers in the greatest lie that has ever been perpetrated within human history. An atheist complained to a friend because Christians had their special holidays, you know, Christmas and Easter, and Jews had their national holidays such as Passover and Yom Kippur. But we atheists, he said, have no recognized national holiday. It's unfair discrimination, he said. And his friend replied, well, then why don't you use April 1st to celebrate the atheistic? It's coming, my friends. April 1st, April Fool's Day, right? Yes, April 1st. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, Psalm 14 and verse 1. Today's scripture reminds us of the effort and bother that many went through to make sure that Jesus would never rise from the grave. Oh yes, there was a preconceived and coordinated plan to prevent anyone from ever hearing from Jesus ever again. We want to do away with this guy. We don't want to hear from him. That's it. And this effort culminated in the religious leaders persuading the Roman governor, Pilate, to set a Roman seal upon Jesus' grave. This was to put an end, once and for all, to Jesus' claims that he would rise from the dead. Now, the Roman seal, that would have been considered the end of the matter. No more discussions. This was the equivalent of the Romans shutting down the Jesus is Lord or Jesus has been raised from the dead website. Yeah, they were shutting it down. So this is what they did, just to describe how the tomb was sealed. It was done in several steps. First, a strong rope was placed around the stone at the door of the tomb. Secondly, the two ends were drawn to the side of the door or to the outer wall of the tomb. And thirdly, a wax or clay seal was placed on the rope where it crossed itself in front of the stone and where the rope touched the two sides of the tomb. It would be impossible to move the stone without breaking the seal. You see, to break the Roman seal was, of course, punishable by death. You just didn't do that. And then interestingly, if we journey back into the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Daniel, where Daniel's time in the lion's den foreshadows this event of Christ's time within the tomb, where it says in Daniel chapter 6, then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing would be changed in regarding to Daniel. The seal of the king or the Roman governor meant the end of the story forever. But aren't you glad that it wasn't? Yes. And so on this Easter morning, the two Marys went to look at the tomb. The tomb was sealed, but nonetheless, you know, they wanted to stand there and they wanted to wait on the other side of that stone. Why? Because that's what people do who believe in the claims of Christ. They stand and they faithfully wait upon the fulfillment of the promises of God, stone or no stone. It wasn't going to make a difference to them because Jesus had given them the promises that he would rise. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint." Well, the two Marys didn't have to wait long, for down from heaven came the angel who broke that seal by rolling back the stone. And the text says, "And the angel sat upon that stone." Now, I remember when I was a kid, and if you were wrestling with one of your friends, you know, that's what I did when I was little. You would wrestle, or you'd wrestle with your friends. The important thing to do, of course, was to pin down your opponent, who was usually your best friend that you were fighting with. And one of the most effective ways to pin down your opponent was what? You got to sit on him, right? Sit on him. And that's exactly what the angel was doing here. In other words, no one is going to roll that stone back into place again. Oh no. You see, ours is the faith of the perpetual empty tomb. We are the church of the open tomb. On that first Easter, it was as if the angel was thumbing his nose at every human claim that prevents you and I from believing. A Muslim in Africa became a Christian, and some of his friends asked him, "Why have you done such a thing? You've deserted, you've abandoned your faith." And he answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose that you were going down a road and suddenly the road forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the fork were two men. One was dead and one was alive. Which one would you ask to show you the way?" You see, there are all kinds of silly claims, like if you can't see God, he doesn't exist. And that's the claim of the secularists that are running rampant within our society. Or the claim that there are lots of things that you can't see, and if you can't see it and if you can't quantify it, it doesn't exist. But you still believe in love, even though you can't see that and you can't quantify that. Or that science and faith are inherently self-contradictory, and I don't believe that. I think that the two of them bear one another out. Or if human suffering exists, God cannot be good. How about a God who joins with us in our human suffering and then gives us the promise that he will raise us yet again on that last day? A few years ago, a letter appeared in the national news that was sent to a deceased person by the Indiana, right next door, the Indiana Department of Social Services, and it read as follows. Quote, "Your food stamps will be stopped effective March 1992 because we have received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances." Today, the angel is declaring that there is a change in our circumstances. Amen. So here's what Easter is all about. For every claim of the finality of death and decay, there is the counterclaim of the angel. He is not here. He has risen. And then to make good on the counterclaim of the angel, as the women dash back to tell the other disciples, they encounter Jesus alive. And they grab a hold of his ankles and they worship him. On the first day of the week, the light of Christ conquers the darkness of a still grave in the same way that the first act of creation in Genesis 1 was the act that brought light into the world on that very first day. And so we worship like the women first did. We worship. We do. We give our hearts and lives to God. And so worship becomes the benchmark that you and I actually believe that Jesus was raised and that He only has conquered death. This is typified in the church sign that I recently saw. Absolutely love this church sign. It said, "We celebrate the resurrection 52 Sundays a year." I like that. I thought that was good. And so amid the claims and the counterclaims, everyone who has ever encountered Christ is left with a nagging question of, do you believe? And not only for today, but for the other 51 Sundays of the year. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus meets up with his disciples on a mountain in Galilee. Wherever the risen Christ asks us to go, we must follow. Be that Jerusalem, be that Galilee, wherever. And they too, they did the same as the women. They worshiped him. Everyone who sees Jesus as being just a claim. Anyone can claim anything. Or a nice historical figure, or merely a prophet, will miss the power of this day entirely. Every year, thousands of people climb a mountain in the Italian Alps, passing all the stations of the cross to stand at an outdoor crucifix. And one tourist noticed a little trail that led beyond the cross. And he fought through the rough thicket, and to his surprise, he came upon another shrine. A shrine that symbolized the empty tomb. It was neglected. It had brush that was grown up around it. Almost everyone had gone as far as the cross, but it was there that they stopped. But never stop at just the cross, my friends. Go to the empty tomb, as the women did on that first resurrection morning. Breaking into all the claims and counterclaims of that first Easter day comes this final teaching of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So therefore, go. Go believing that he lives. Go knowing that because he does, you too and I, we shall live forever. Amen.